day that will be. My goodness, we keep saying it's close, it's close, it's close. It's closer than it was last week, but how close? All of us may die of old age before Jesus comes. I don't know. I think he's going to be here pretty soon, but we don't know. And what a day that's going to be, though, when he takes us by the hand and leads us through, shows us everything. Hey, Moses. Hi, Noah. How you guys doing? Wonderful. Good to see you, old guys. What a day that's going to be when we see our Jesus. Find your Bibles. Turn those to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, please. This is a long sermon, and I'm going to try and shorten it. I can shorten it really short, but I'm not sure you'll get the gist of everything I want you to get. I started to bring this a few weeks ago after Uvalde shooting, and I guess the timing was not right. I felt led tonight to bring it. And I want to give you five areas of the blessing of life, five areas of the blessings of life that you should be giving your children, grandchildren, your spouses, and those around you. Five areas of the blessings of life. If that young man down in Uvalde had had the blessings upon him, he more than likely would not have done what he did. Every mass shooter is angry and full of turmoil on the inside. Most of them feel rejection, no acceptance by society, by others, and they're strange ducks, but they've been made that way. They were not born that way. The process of who they have been around and the process of their family life have made them what they are. And the accessibility of what we call, the assault weapons and those kinds of things has just added to their pain and suffering. They have been able to access that and take it out on those who they see to be the fault and the blame. Five areas of blessings of life. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you find chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. Did I turn my mic on? Okay. So you hear all that. Great. Bethany, I need a cake. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But children who do not have the example of godly parents in their lives are running a gauntlet today where there are so many who influence them other than parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Now, Father, we're grateful to be assembled here tonight, to be able to have the health, to be able to have the means, to be able to have the building, the property, all things that you've provided, the comfort, the air conditioning, the all things, the friendships, the fellowship with other believers. Tonight, I pray that you give grace to speak, to preach. I pray that you give grace to hear, to listen, not only to hear the audible words and tones, but to get the message and make application of it. I pray your forgiveness of sin, of my personal sin, of the sin of our nation, which is rampant, mainly because they've turned their backs on you. I pray, Lord, that you'd come soon, even, Lord Jesus, come quickly and receive us unto yourself, that we might enjoy your love face to face and eye to eye. I pray now for the Holy Spirit's unction and His blessing upon the message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Look at verse number 4. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't anger and keep picking at your children to provoke them to anger or to wrath. I've seen well-meaning Christian fathers do that very thing. And I have seen people in our church do that very thing. And I felt sorry for the young people that were the brunt of this. And I wanted to say something, but uncommon to me, I bit my tongue at the time, and I did not. Children do not need to be belittled. They do not need to be picked on, made light of, and fun of, especially in the presence of those others that they respect and they love and they want acceptance from. You do all the wrong things. So, 5 areas of the blessing tonight. It comes, the groundwork and the foundation comes from Gary Smalley's book, The Blessing. You need to get it. You can find it online in a used bookstore for a few bucks. Get it. The Blessing. That book changed my life completely. When Kathy and I began to have children, I began trying to do all the things that were not done to me, for me, or on my behalf when I was a child. Sometimes when you grow up in an environment that is not necessarily encouraging, you learn all the wrong things not to do, and so you began looking for the right things to do. At that day and time, there was a few books out by some of the positive mental attitude guys. Who's the guy in Colorado, the family? James Dobson. Dobson had some books out. There was especially some helpful books by Accelerated Christian Education that talked about disciplining children, but then it talked about loving on them after you discipline them and not send them to their room to sulk and to be mad, but to spank them, let them know what they're being disciplined about, and then hug them and love on them after it's over rather than treating them like a convict in solitary confinement somewhere. I began to learn all the right things to do, and I tried to apply those. Those things were not done to me or for me when I was growing up. You and I have the privilege, and my age group people were part of the first generation that had access to so much information. We are of the information age, and we could find things that would benefit us in helping our relationship with our spouses or our children or other people if you would apply those. And I began searching and looking. Most of the time, people acted and reacted to their spouses, to their children, to their grandchildren, and others by way of example of the way their mother, their father treated them or what they saw in the family. And that's not always the best method. As a matter of fact, it's not the best method. It is the best method if you have a godly home, a Christian home, and a home where mother and father are knowledgeable and understanding of these areas and the blessing of life. You give or you withhold the blessings, your acceptance to your children, your grandchildren, and others, and it has a major, major effect upon them. In Matthew chapter 19, in verse number 13, Matthew 9, as I said, this is a long message, and I'm going to whittle on it because we don't have time tonight, and we don't want to try to do that. But I'll give you the 5 areas nevertheless. Matthew 19:13, notice what is talked about for Jesus. It says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them, and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Oftentimes I have seen people totally ignore children. I've seen children out of control. I don't like that. But I've seen children who were trying to get acceptance and unconditional love be totally ignored and sent off as a bother. Now, get this. Children should not run the conversation when adults are speaking. And when adults are speaking, children should have enough understanding from mother and father not to interrupt, to wait their turn. I've seen parents in a conversation with leadership, and I've seen parents totally ignore the conversation that has been asked for or the counsel that has been asked for, and totally ignore leadership to take care of a petty issue with a child who at that moment seemed to be more valuable and more important than the good counsel they were receiving about the child. That's wrong. That's out of control. You want to see out of control, go to HEB and buy groceries. You want to see out of control, go to Walmart with your eyes and ears open. You want to see out of control? And these kids run the show on everything. It should not be. But they should have their moment and they should have their time. Five areas of the blessing. Jesus blessed the little children, and here's the one who spoke the words and the world came into existence. Here's the one, stop and think about it. Here's Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnated Christ is the one who created all things. John says it in John chapter 1. He created all things. What purpose and what use is a mosquito? I have no idea, but I can tell you one thing, they are well equipped. Ticks, chiggers, mites, gnats, flies, butterflies, beautiful birds, beautiful animals in detail. He created everything in minute detail. And he has time for little children? Forbid not the little children to come unto me. He gives them value and he gives them importance. And by example, he gives us the same idea that we should spend quality time. Discipline, yes. Train, yes. But quality time with children. When you begin to read the story of Isaac and Jacob, you find the elements of a father blessing his children. That story back in Genesis chapter 27, if you'll turn there real quickly, we'll look at some things. In Genesis chapter 27, in verse number 4, you find Isaac. Verse 1 says, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. He said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Take thy weapons. Go find me a good deer, some venison. I'm hungry. Verse 4. And make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. That my soul may bless thee before I die. Now drop down to verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, my father, he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. He lied. I know there's some bad things here, but I want you to see the blessing. So you remember the story how Jacob, by the coaxing of his mother, pretended to be Esau and put the wool of a lamb over his shoulders to make that it felt like a lot of hair, who Esau was very hairy and so on. And he says in verse 19, and Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, quote, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Now think about it. How is it that Isaac will recognize his son by feeling of him? Unless it's already been a habitual thing. He's already hugged on his children. He's already been a touchy-feely. I hear daddy say all the, I'm just not one of those touchy-feeling kind of people. I'm just not one of those. I'm just me. I know, but you need to learn to be. Doesn't hurt just a little bit. You hear people all the time say, Oh, I know you're one of those huggy-huggy kind of people. Well, I'm just not that way. Well, you need to be, because it was biblical. And it gives more than you realize. He said in verse 22, Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. Oh, is that sissy stuff? Good night. Men don't kiss each other, and, you know, you don't kiss a... Who said? Man, it got to be a ritual every night in our family. Because there came a time when, I told you this story, but I don't know how old I was. I was a preteen. I was 11, 10, 11, 12 years old, or maybe 13. I don't know, but I used to go and kiss my mother and my father every night and say, Good night, I love you, and go to bed. And one night, my dad's reading his paper, and I came over to tell him. And he said, When are you going to get too big for this? And I didn't say anything, but right then at that moment, I just got too big for it. You'll never get this again. He demeaned me. He belittled it. He made light of it. When you're going to grow up and do a man stuff and quit doing all this baby hugging and kissing junk? I guarantee you there were years later my dad would have wished for that. When I read Gary Smalley's book and found men who did not transfer the blessing to their children, I understood that most of the time it was because they didn't understand anything about it. They had never had the blessing transferred to their lives as well, my dad being one of them. All he ever got was, Why didn't you do it better than this? Why didn't you do it like this? Why did you do this? And he grew up with a perfectionist attitude. That everything had to be perfect. If he built anything, I'm telling you, it was perfect. If he bought anything or he painted anything or anything at all, it had to be perfect. For his own satisfaction. So that people would say, Man, that's a great job on that. Did you do that yourself? Yeah, I did that. Oftentimes, it's the way that runs. And so he said, When are you going to get too big for this? I got too big for it that night. I was 11, 12 years old. Never again. Until I was in my 40s, somewhere in my 40s, I wrote this at the top of my outline, that my dad was 63 years old in 1997, and I must have been about 45. And we went home on a visitation to see the families, and I had been reading that book. And usually it was kind of a, Hey, how you doing? Fine, okay, how are you doing? Yeah, fine, okay, kind of thing. Now at home with my boys, and we never had a daughter, but I had all three sons, it was always, Hey, good night, bud. Hey, see you tomorrow, or, you know, I love you, and I was kind of the mentality that it was embarrassing for me to say when I first started. And so I made up the excuse and I'd say to my kids. And I would say, hey, when's the last time I told you I love you? I don't know, Dad. I said, well, that's been too long. Hey, man, I just wanted to tell you, come here and hug. And I had an excuse now. And so that's the way it started. I went home that year with the idea that I'm going to give my dad the blessing. He never gave it to me, but I'm going to give it to him. And I went home and it was, hey, how you doing? Okay, well, fine, good, good to see you. And I walked over to my dad and I said, I just wanted to tell you, it's good to see you, Dad. I love you. And it must have been a shocker. I could feel him melt underneath my grip. And from that day on, he looked forward to it. He looked forward to it. If I didn't initiate it, he did. Hey, buddy, it's been a long time. Hey, good to see you. I gave my dad the blessing. He, in return, began to give it. He looked forward to it every time we were together. So the five areas of the blessings that you find here that Isaac gave, thinking he was giving it to Esau, but he gave to Jacob. And you find them, and I have to run through them. If you've read the book, you know what they are, but here they are. Let me just list them quickly. Number one, a meaningful touch. A meaningful touch. An embrace. Strong handshake, manly handshake, whatever. A spoken message of you're going to be great someday. I hate parents that demean their children to, why can't you be like your brother and do it the way he does it? You always mess it up. Why are you so dumb acting? Boy, you're giving that child a future, all right, but you're giving him one of negativity. My middle child came home one day from public kindergarten in East Texas, crying, big old crocodile tears. I said, what's the matter, bud? He said, I'm just dumb. I can't do anything right. I'm just dumb. I said, who told you that? I could never get it out of him. And he said, I'm just dumb. I said, who told you? Nobody. But the teacher said, move me from the front to the back of the class. And I couldn't. I said, okay. I went and talked to the teacher. Kindergarten controversy. I said, you're going to have to move him to the front of the class. He lacks security. He lacks self-confidence. He lacks all of these things, and he's going to need a little help and encouragement. Okay. So I talked to him pretty straight, and I said, you're not dumb. You just haven't learned it yet. You're not stupid. You just haven't learned the right way yet. And we're going to work on that. No, I'm just dumb. I said, you're not. And I don't want to hear that word anymore. It's not in our vocabulary. Well, I'm just dumb. No, I said, you're not dumb. You're smart. And you're smart enough you can learn it. You'll put it together. Tell me what you are. I'm dumb. No, I said, I'm going to spank you if you say you're dumb one more time. You're not dumb. You're part of me and your mama, and we're not dumb. You're okay. Okay. I said, so say it. I'm smart. But I say it. I'm smart. I said, okay. So now you got the picture. Every day I want to hear you say that. I'm smart. I'm smart. And why don't you know how to do it yet? He said, because I just haven't learned it yet. I said, that's it. Now come on. And I made him tell me that back every day, every day, every day. A spoken message. There's a third thing, attaching high value to the one who's being blessed. High value. You're the most important thing in my life. High value. Picturing a special future for the one that's being blessed. A special future. Man, you're going to grow up someday and you're going to be whatever. You can do whatever you want. You can be anything you want. You're going to do it, giving them confidence. And then, number five, be an active part, an active commitment to help fulfill that blessing. To help fulfill that blessing. Look at Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. Meaningful touch. If you're close enough to kiss, you're close enough to touch, an embrace, a hug. You know, hey, I no longer kiss my sons on the cheek, but we do embrace. You'll notice after everyone's left here and I get time to go over in the corner where everyone is, if you've ever watched, every one of them give me a hug and embrace. They've been trained that way. They look forward to it. So do I. Meaningful touch. Scientists says that the hemoglobin, the pigment of the red blood cells, it's the part that carries oxygen in your blood, goes up. The rate of it goes up during the act of touching. It can lower a husband's or a wife's blood pressure simply by a hug from the spouse. A touch of the hand on the arm or holding hands with your spouse can actually lower their blood pressure and cause the hemoglobin to increase. You protect your grade school child from being involved in an immoral relationship later in life by oftentimes hugging and embracing them for no reason at all, just because they are your children. Scientists say that you can add up to 2 years to your own life by a meaningful touch to someone that you love so much, like your husband or your wife or your children. A gentle touch, a stroke, a kiss, or a hug. Matthew 19, Jesus touched the little children and prayed and sent them away. He took time for them. You take time for your dogs and your cats. You take time for all of those. But you should take time for your children. Even if your children are grown now and you've never done this, it's still time, as long as you have breath in your body, to do that. There's a second thing, and that is a spoken message or an approval, an acceptance. Genesis chapter 27, verse 27, he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. If you're close enough to smell that individual. You know what little kids smell like? They've been outside all day. They smell like dirt. They smell like animals. They smell like outside. But there comes a time in your life when you'll miss that. You better take advantage of it while you can. I saw something on Facebook. I posted it on my account. If you looked on there in the last day or so, you saw it in it. And it simply has a picture on there, and it says, why farm kids have such a great immunity. Has anybody seen that? Yeah. Why farm kids have a great immunity. And this little boy, about 4 years old, is drinking out of a horse tank, and the horse is drinking out of the opposite end of it at the same time. I told one of my daughters-in-law at one time, I said, get your kids out in the dirt. And let them play. Let them eat some of it. Oh, she went berserk. I said, get your kids out in the dirt and let them eat some. Well, you know, I'm nutso. I'm crazy. No, it builds their immunity. You know, you try to protect them from everything, and you protect them from the good stuff as well. It never hurts them to drink out of the same tank that the horse is slobbering in. Well, I'm a perfect example. I ate the salt off the salt block that the cows licked off of, and it never killed me. That's why I love the smell of cows to this day, I guess. You need to give your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, you need to give them your approval, your acceptance. They look for it. It's a spoken message. like we find in verse 27. Oh, you have the smell of the out of doors. You have the smell of the woods and so on and so on. I love it. It's a fresh scent. You're my child. You're my guy. You're my girl. But give them approval, a spoken message. Our Heavenly Father said that He accepted us aside from our works and accomplishments. He accepts us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says, He accepts us in the Beloved. The Beloved is Jesus Christ. God the Father accepts us. Well, what's that verse of Scripture? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He accepted us in Jesus Christ. When you've been born again and saved, He accepts you. You're totally accepted, not rejected at all. And that same kind of acceptance should be given to your children. They're gonna make bad choices. They're going to do things that are wrong. But you give them your unconditional love and your acceptance. There's a third thing. We need to attach high value to the ones that we're trying to bless. They have a high value. There's nothing more valuable, nothing more important on the face of the earth than the people that we're trying to bless. Positive words build and negative words destroy. Positive words. You can. You're beautiful. You're smart. You're so athletic. You are so graceful. So on and so on. I had to learn a new vocabulary when I started having granddaughters. They don't speak the same language that boys speak. And so I had to try extra hard. I'm not into all the frills and things, you know, of girls. And I began to notice a different sense of value and a different sense of acceptance and so on. And so I began to learn how to speak to them and talk to them different than the guys. Attaching high value. Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Genesis 27:28, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of the corn and wine. He's blessing, he thinks Esau, but it's Jacob. And he's saying, God give thee, therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. Why? Because you smell of the earth. It's a good smell. It's a clean smell. It's an outdoorsy smell, but you smell. He's close enough that he can bless him and enjoy the smell of his child, his grown son. Been there, done that before. And notice he says, here's high value. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven. God give you. You're valuable. You're important. God is going to give you, and God will bless you, and God will help you in so many areas. The 103rd Psalm, verses 1 and 2, talks about praising God for all His goodness. He saved us. He provides for us. He nurtures us. He trains us. When we don't know anything at all, He keeps bringing the little trials. If you think back in your life, He didn't dump on you a huge fiery furnace all at once. He brought little things that you could deal with and learn from and gradually increase the difficulty of it. The importance God placed upon us in building us and nurturing us. Not to pat me on the back, but God gives to you what you have need of in the way of a pastor and the pastor's spiritual gifts. Now it's time for this pastor to retire and the next man to come in to build with that and to add to that. But my gifts have been used and I'm having one of those 70-year-old brain freezes at the moment. Invested. My gifts have been invested in you. you invest your gifts in your children, your grandchildren, to build them, to build their character, to build their value, to build their knowledge, to build their acceptance. Joshua blessed Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that came back and said, we can do this with God's help. And Joshua blessed Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. He said, you've been a faithful man. You've been strong for God, and you deserve, and blah, 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 and corn. Blessing your family. When you tell your children you're going to do something, do it. It's very important to show them that they have a high value. Dad is a preacher. Dad is a pastor. Dad gets phone calls, and he has to go help people, and he has to pray for people. And so, yes, but no one is more important or of any more value than you are. You're my children. And you invest in your people here. So, there's a fourth thing. Sometimes we need help picturing a special future that we have. A special future. You find Genesis 27, 28, God will give thee the dew of the earth. 29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. A special blessing that Jacob received there. When Jacob received the blessing from Isaac, he didn't have anything. Nothing. But Isaac gave him a special future to look forward to. God's going to use you. I remember people saying when I was in vacation Bible school, you're a special young man. The preacher said, God's going to use you someday. Oh, I don't know that I wanted to hear that. I was afraid of what that might entail. You might be a preacher someday. And they said it later on. They said, the pastor thinks you're going to be a preacher. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. I want to be a cowboy. There's nothing bigger than a cowboy. That's what I want to be. I want to go to the mountains, and I want to, you know, all the things, the special things. Don't tell me, yeah, God's going to use you someday. I heard that from people that taught Bible school and Sunday school. Investing in that child's life and giving them a special dream and special value and a special future. Jacob had a blessing to give. He gave Judah, his son, a special future. In Genesis 49 and 8, he said, hey, from your loins kings will come and special things will happen. And Judah was blessed to be the clan or the family, the tribe that brought forth Jesus Christ, as you remember. He was from the tribe of Judah. And Judah was given a special blessing, and he looked forward to it. And that was it. It entailed that. Jesus gave his disciples a special future and a special vision to look forward to. John 14, 2 and 3, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Man, don't you hang on that. Yeah, so do I. I hang on that. It's wonderful. A special future. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Wow, I can't hardly wait. Yeah, and it makes a difference in your life too. And then lastly, number five, we should have an active commitment to fulfill the blessing to the ones we're trying to give it to. And that means become a student of that individual. Invariably, all children are not the same. What works for one doesn't work for the other. You can motivate two of them, and the third one, nothing works. So it takes a little energy, it takes a little commitment, it takes a little ingenuity to find out what works on that child and then help them. Man, I could set two of my kids on fire. I mean, you know, I could get them like a dog and rub their ears a little bit and send them out and they'd go and fight or do whatever, and they're energized. They're gonna run through the brick wall. And the second one says, yeah, I heard that before. You know, ho hum. So how do you motivate? You have to find out what their interest is. You have to find out what does motivate them and work at it and go for it. Learn something about them that they're interested in. Do things that they like and they're interested in. I could care less about golf and all that junk. But one of my kids enjoyed it. I said, okay, I'll play with you. You may not have received the blessing from a father or mother, but you can receive the blessing from God. I want you to notice Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15. Isaiah 49, 15, God says, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Well, in this day and age in which we live, yes, they can. A woman can. She can abort them. She can drop them in a garbage can and walk away from them. We live in that day and era where the natural tendencies to love that which you give birth to is not any longer affecting many, many people. But God says, hey, can she forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God's just given us one of the greatest things here. Your mama might turn away from you, your daddy might not be at home for you, but I am always here for you. I care for you when everyone else abandons you. And then he goes on and he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thank God for that. We may not have received the blessing from a mother or a father, but we can receive it from God and we can give it to others. Homes that withhold the blessings will always end up in ruin. Homes that withhold the blessing, it's always just out of reach. You know, in my life, I wrote down things here. You could write down things in your life if you came from a home that way, but I never plowed the field straight enough. I never cleaned the barn good enough. I never did anything that was up to that perfection without some criticism behind it. Never. How do you think that makes an individual feel? Man, listen to yourself. The blessing is always just out of reach. If you'd have done it this way, I worked my teenage life and my young adult life trying to please my dad. What I did not realize is I was looking for that blessing. I was looking for that, the idea that I was someone special, that I was something of value. I was looking for that meaningful touch. I was looking for all the things we just talked about. And it was not coming, and it was not there. And finally, I made the break, and I said, enough's enough. I'm not doing this anymore. And that's when I broke. And didn't care what my dad did, didn't care what my mom did as far as that went. Now I have a wife that means more to me than anything else. And I work to please her rather than my dad or my... Some people never get over it. Some people never make the break, and it ruins marriages. They're always still trying to please mom or to please dad in their life by their accomplishments. Look what I've accomplished. Yeah, but if you'd have done this and this, it's never, the blessing is always just out of reach. It's never there. Homes that withhold the blessing hold that blessing just out of reach. Homes that withhold the blessing, or out of balance with favoritism. Joseph favored his son and his brothers. Joseph was the favored son, and his brothers were angry about it. It caused a lot of friction. And of course, you know, he was sold into bondage because of the jealousy. But it turned out God meant it for good rather than for evil. Homes that withhold the blessings are emotional minefields. Do you see? You see what all these, look, kids that grow up in this secure acceptance, unconditional love, you are someone, you're of value, you're important, you're really great, never end up as mass killers. Never end up shooting up a grade school full of young kids. The absentee dads are to blame, and the absentee moms are to blame. The people who never gave the blessing, the people who never loved unconditionally, the people who abandoned are saying, you're not valuable enough for me. You go live with your grandmother, or you go, you know, to the orphanage or whatever it is. If someone does not take that child under their wing and bless them with all of these five areas of life, they will end up just like that young man in Uvalde and other places. They are emotional minefields. People who miss the blessings tend to carry anger into the future. I've seen them. I've seen them in our Christian school. People who miss the blessings have a lot of fear. 1 John 4:18. Love casteth out fear. So apparently they're not getting the love they need. People who miss the blessing have a lot of fear, and it's hard for them to trust others. It's hard for them to attach to others because they're fearful of a final rejection and fearful of failure. They have difficulty cleaving to another person. It's hard to give what you never received yourself. It's hard for them to leave father and mother because they're still trying to get the blessing. They have difficulty relating to the Heavenly Father and believes that He loves them unconditionally. It's hard for them to understand that a God in heaven could love me despite all of my faults. But once you get that idea, it changes your life. And it can change the lives of others if you give to them in that same fashion. There's a ton of people to blame, mothers and fathers, for provoking their children to anger. But Sunday school teachers who see that child as being different and difficult and belligerent, there's something lacking. They're not getting at home. And you can give it, and you can help them. It goes a long way. I'd encourage you to get that book and read it. It'll help you in your present life and help you with others as well. So let's stand and be dismissed.